had a sermon the other.
Didn't preach it. Okay. I preached it today. By the time I got there with the rain or whatever, everything was... Yeah. So it worked out well. We have to go to another place or whatever, so this is good. All right. Second Samuel. Pay attention now. Second Samuel. Chapter 20. Verse 3. Let's see what we have here today. All right. Oh, and thank you for the bounty back there. That's good stuff. All right. And David came to his house at Jerusalem, and the king took the 10 women, his concubines, whom they had left, who he had left to keep the house, and put them in ward and fed them, but went not in unto them, so they were shut up unto the day of their death, living in widowhood. All right. So, one of the first things that David does, I don't have a whole lot of revelation on this, I just, you know, the king comes back. He takes care of those who were abused and left behind or whatever. They're going to be fed. They're going to be taken care of. But he's not going to have the same relationship that he had with them before because they have been defiled. I don't have any great revelation behind this except, man, if I was one of those 10 women, I'm really happy when the king comes back. I'm going to be sustained. I'm going to be taken care of. But the relationship is messed up. And it's not necessarily David's fault, well, kind of sort of is, but it's really Absalom. And so sometimes we do things that affect other people, all right, that the relationship's just kind of screwed up from there going forward or whatever. And I don't have anything different or otherwise to say. One of my favorite commentary guys, David Guzik, he just kind of points out that the women suffered as the result of the sins of others, I think David and Absalom. And the same thing kind of applies today. Our sins are never just about us. Others can be adversely impacted. So I guess the only takeaway from that particular piece of scripture is you got to make sure that you're careful of the decisions that you're making in your life, because they can have long-lasting impacts on others, and you don't even think about it. So Absalom's actions, David's actions, have long-term consequences to the relationships or whatever of others. But otherwise, it's a great thing that the king's back in the throne. All right? Any thoughts or comments before we move on? Good?
Good.
Let's keep going. Because we're going to have to pick up speed because I got to get through all of this David stuff by January so we can pick up the Watchman Nee stuff.
Yes.
Okay. You guys are going to be so blessed when we die. Oh, bless all that. So great. All right. Verse 4. Then said the king to Amasa, assemble me the men of Judah within 3 days, and be thou here present. So Amasa went to assemble the men of Judah, but he tarried longer than the set time which he had appointed him. And David said to Abishai, now shall Sheba, the son of Bichri, I hope I'm saying that right, do us more harm than did Absalom. Take thou thy servants, thy Lord's servants, and pursue after him, lest he get him fenced cities and escape us. And there went out after Joab's men and the Cherelites and the Perilites and all the mighty men, and they went out of Jerusalem to pursue after Sheba, the son of Bichri. All right, so... remember in previous lessons, Sheba, that's the guy who said, hey, I'm offended over the way that the tribe of Judah has spoken to us. And as I was looking at this again, there was a reference. Al, everybody else stay where you are. Al, you can turn to Proverbs 15 and 1. There was a reference there. I thought it was a good reference. Proverbs 15 and 1. Al is moving to Proverbs chapter 15 and 1. Everybody else stay where they are. I see there's two people that are already going to Proverbs 15 and 1. Either you're doing that because you are disobedient, or either you're doing that because you know Al reads from that funny Bible and you want to get the true meaning of what's going on. Or you know it's going to take Al forever and a day to get there, and so you want to get there and get there for yourself. All right, amen. All right.
So,
hold on, Al is reading. Okay, keep going.
A gentle answer reflects anger.
A gentle answer reflects anger. So if you look at what happened in the previous chapter, the tribe of Judah answered Israel and their foolishness. Israel is just crazy. All right? But they answered them harshly. And because the answer was harsh, Sheba rolls up and says, oh, you're going to talk to me. You don't know what I'm talking about yet. No application for today. Oh, you're going to talk to me like that? All right? We have no part with the king. We're out of here. Everybody go to your house. And so a rebellion was started.
But the second part of that was harsh words make temples square.
Okay, so why did you not read the whole verse?
Because he interrupted me. I always obey.
Boy. Seriously, I know. Miss Linda. All right. So a harsh answer does what, Al?
Make tempers flare.
So now, tempers flare. Is there any application for us today?
Yeah.
When people start talking crazy, all right, and you respond, and your response is a harsh response rather than a soft response, what might happen?
Fight.
David says, now, in 2 Samuel chapter 20, David now says, hey, what's happening now with Sheba is worse than what happened with Absalom. Just for a moment, whether that's true or not, in David's mind, he's thinking, now what's happening with Sheba is worse than what's happening with Absalom. Think about that for a minute. Why would David say that? Absalom came against him in open rebellion. And that was not good. David is saying, this might be worse than the open rebellion. What is it that might be worse? He says, we got to go and get Sheba before Sheba escapes and gets him a fortified city. Didn't say anything about Sheba attacking him. But Sheba is going to build up defenses. Think about that. Any application? First, think about it from David's perspective. Then see if there's any application for today. Why would David think that? That Absalom thing was bad. Open rebellion. In his face, trying to take him out. And David says, if Sheba gets away now, all because somebody answered in a wrong tone, and now Sheba is escaping, not following the king, but David doesn't want him to escape where he can get to a fortified city and build up a defense where it'd be hard to get.
Talk. Power of the pen is higher than the sword. And that
hold on,
word.
Hold on just a minute. Let me slow down. Because
All
of a sudden I got a vision of diapers. Yeah. What did you just say?
Well,
the power of
the pen, the writing.
Not the pens. Yeah. The pen. Yeah. Okay, gotcha. We're good. That threw me off.
Which is, Absalom was physical action, whereas this guy's just spreading the word and it's simmering.
Stay with what Roger said. Yes, sir, Matt.
David learned from Absalom the consequence. That was a learning thing for him.
Okay.
And so with that, that's why he want to take care of Sheba.
Okay.
He won't get there before.
Oh, so it's important to get to Sheba so that it doesn't get that far. What happened? Yes, sir.
Sheba is trying to divide.
Yeah, he's trying to divide. Causing dissension. Right. And so, in David's mind, somebody behind the scenes causing dissension could do more damage than somebody in open rebellion. Okay.
I agree with you.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to bow up and get all mad and everything other than going out like Absalom and physically trying to do something. So every, you know.
Is there an application for today? Oh, have you ever had harsh words with someone? Okay. The person who receives your harsh message, what could they be prone to do since there's nothing new under the sun? Retaliate. How? How does Sheba retaliate? How did he rebel? So he told others. He didn't attack David physically. Didn't get in David's face. Because Sheba, if you look earlier, and never spoke to David directly. He spoke to the people around him. Mm-hmm. And then he said, everybody go to your tents. He still stayed in the same area, country. He still stayed there, but he's in rebellion, but he's not out front. And it's, I like what you said, it's simmering. David says, that ain't a good thing. Sheba simmering and being defensive can be worse than Absalom and his open rebellion and attack. Let me think about, all right, so think about your relationships. You said there were times when you might have had harsh words with someone. Since there's nothing new under the sun, the person who receives the harsh words, how might they respond? You said they might retaliate. How might they retaliate? They may not say anything to you, but they could be sitting there, I'm going to use Roger's words, simmering. Building up a defense against you. David says, even though the Absalom thing was bad, at least it's out in the open and I can deal with it. But now, if I don't deal with it in the open, it could be worse if it's simmering behind the scenes and I don't deal with that. Mighty quiet in here. What happens if David doesn't do anything at all? You know, you can even look at this from a political perspective. You go in and you win the battle on foreign territory, Afghanistan, whatever. Is the battle over?
No.
You still have pockets of resistance.
Right.
Do you let the pockets of resistance remain?
No.
Why not?
It could grow.
So, would you prefer to have the battle out in the open battlefield or be going from house to house to find out where the strongholds are? Open battlefield. So we got to be careful in our relationships. Parents and kids, that's the easy one. Husband and wife, could be the same thing. Those moments where you have harsh words and then you don't see a battle out in front, but behind the scenes, stuff is simmering. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And David is saying, if I ignore what's happening, the person that's been offended, right or wrong, can build up such a defense, it's going to be hard to overtake. Yes, sir. He said within 3 days. So he said, what I need to deal with here, we need to deal with it quick, fast, and in a hurry. Because if I... Oh! So what... Okay. Okay. I'll say, Brother Ken. So what you're saying here is, if you don't deal with it quick, fast, and in a hurry, they may build up such a defense against it that it's going to be harder for you to resolve that. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking now, you know, back when I was growing up as a kid, sometimes my parents didn't know the Bible like this or whatever, you know. But sometimes if I walked in the house and I had my mouth poked out because I just don't like the way things are happening in the house. My folks would do one or two things because I'm old school. They would either say, ignore it, because in my mind I'm like, I can wait till I get out of here. I ain't never come back. Defense. Or my folks would sometimes deal with that thing right away. You raise your hand. How'd they deal with it in your house? There you I really think that we might be related. I don't know, but man, I can remember going, man, come to the supper table, right? Like that. It's like, you better fix them lips before you you better fix your lips. Right. Or they'll be at the hospital before you will. I mean, you know. Because they kind of dealt with that stuff. Now, I'm not saying the way they dealt with it was the right way. Somebody from that generation, all right, you know, might say that. You know, there might be a nicer or softer way to deal with it, but you wanted to deal with it, or else you got that defense, and you want to break that defense down. Because as long as they're defensive, they'll never come to respect and honor the king. What's more important? That Sheba repent pertaining to his attitude toward the king. I'm going to move on. I'm just saying, David sees, you know what? My son said something to me one day. I almost knocked him through the TV. The only thing that saved him was Sylvania. Because, as a matter of fact, I hit this guy. He might fly into my TV, and I sure don't want my TV, my Sylvania superset, broke. So I had mercy on him for the sake of the TV. Sylvania saved his butt that day. But we were having that open argument because he said something. And so it was in my face, and we were dealing with it. I'm not saying I dealt with it the right way, but we were dealing with that thing then and there. Much better than him sneaking off doing stuff. And just say, well, as long as he ain't messing up the house, I don't care what he's doing. I don't want to have that kind of relationship, because the most important thing that I want my kids to have out of that relationship is to acknowledge the king.
Amen.
And sometimes we go about that thing the wrong way. Acknowledge the king. It's all about the king. It's all about the king. That's it. Yeah.
And you don't ever come over.
You don't come up against me.
Yeah. Because of our human nature and the rebellious attitude is very contagious.
But I don't think we understand that. And I think David said, man, if this attitude is there and not dealt with quickly, it's going to be a problem. Yeah. Not only is it going to be a problem for the kingdom, it's going to be a problem for that individual who's now in rebellion to the king and they don't know it. The most important thing for me to do as a husband is do it for the glory of God. The most important thing for me to do as a, I'm still a child, because I still got a mama here, is to do those things that, man, I still, man, deal with a 93-year-old person. Good gracious. We had the restaurant yesterday, and I had some cousins coming from out of town, and they were like, oh man, we're running out of time. Cousins from out of town, and my cousin was like, yeah, I like to sit with my back to the, you know, I like to face facing the door. And my mom is like, oh yeah, I like facing the door too. I don't like not facing the door. So she's getting ready to take my seat. So I'm like, sit over here, Mom. We go to breakfast every Saturday morning. Your back is always to the door. Why all of a sudden? What are you gonna do if you got you gonna say, I think somebody... No! By that time, I'm dead! No! Just... So I still got to go through that process sometimes. Because I'm still a child. But it's all about the glory of God. All right? So let me keep... Don't be telling me... No. All right. Let me see. What time is it? It is not that fast. 9:40? All right. So let me do 5 more minutes and let's make sure. So we're already up to verse 7 or whatever. Let's take a look at it. Okay. Verse 11. Oops. Not verse 11. Verse 8. Now, I don't know why Amasa took so long. Either he couldn't get the support, either he knew what he was doing. I don't know. That's a whole other analysis you can do, and the Bible doesn't really say. But bottom line is, he didn't come quick enough for David. All right. Notice that David did not want Joab. He asked for Abishai to take over, because David still got issues with Joab, and you'll see why in a minute. Verse 8. When they were at the great stone, which is in Gibeon, Amasa went before them. So Amasa catches up and says, oh, you guys got the army? Okay, I'm ready to take charge now. And Joab's garment that he had put on was girded unto him, and upon it a girdle or belt with a sword fastened upon his loins and the sheath thereof. And as he went forth, it fell out. And Joab said to Amasa, art thou in health, my brother? And Joab took Amasa by the beard with the right hand to kiss him. But Amasa took no heed to the sword that was in Joab's hand, so he smote him therewith in the fifth rib. Now, this ain't the first time that we've seen some fifth rib action. It's in this dude's DNA, all right? and set out his bowels to the ground and struck him not again. And he died. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, pursued after Sheba, the son of Bichri. So here we have this situation. As we get ready to wrap this up, you're going to miss the good part. We'll do it next week. He's got his sword loosely on him. It's in the sheath, but he has it in such a way that it's easy to fall out. He sees Amasa there, and he goes, hey, brother, how you doing, or whatever. And as he gets ready to greet him, the sword falls out. Something natural. The sword falls out. As he's picking up his sword, I believe, Amasa is just focused on the greeting. Hey, you know, I'm doing fine. So he pulls him by the beard, you know, to say, hey, come here, let me give you a kiss. But it's one of them Judas things. And so he picks up the sword. Amasa's not paying attention that he's picking up the sword. He's paying attention that he wants to greet him or whatever. Pulls his beard down, but now he has him in position. Oh, I just said something. The greeting already now has him in position for Joab to do what he really wanted to do. And he sticks him in the fifth rib and kills the man. Why did Joab do that? The Bible doesn't really say, but you can kind of figure it out. Who was commander of the troops before David made Amasa commander of the troops?
Joab.
I don't think Joab was real happy about somebody taking his place. One thing says maybe Joab did it because he's executing judgment on him because he was too slow. It's not a good reason either. Bottom line is, I think Joab did it not because he was so concerned about the kingdom. He's more concerned about himself. Even though he's doing work for the kingdom. Is it possible you can do work for the kingdom and still not really be for the kingdom? You're really doing it for yourself? Oh, is there any other application or lessons for today? From this part of the story. Oh, it's some good scriptures behind this. Anything that you need to be aware of in this part of the story?
Well, the wolf's always at the door.
Wolf's always at the door. Explain.
Well, there's so much going on here.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
I mean, you got to remember, Joab's a killing machine.
He's not a mercy machine. Okay, here's one. If the person is not repentant, if the person is not repentant for the other previous fifth rib actions, do you really think they're going to be protecting your ribs? Well, probably not.
Yeah, Joab, you got to remember, Joab's men with him, not
Judah, they're not Israelites, they're not Hebrew.
Not all of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's a private army that he's been in, and a lot of them are mercenaries.
Yep.
And so, you know, be careful who you approach.
Be careful who approaches you. Yeah. Just because they have a smile on their face and they say hi, does not really mean that they're for you. In fact, it might be the way that allows you to drop your guards, and then they stick you. Oh, let me just say, when I was younger, I wish I knew this. Not everybody who said hi to you is for you. They may be against you or jealous about you or whatever it is. You got to be careful. And if that person has a track record of not following those steps, why you want to be connected to them? Just be careful out there. All right? Okay. I think that's a good stopping point. We only did two verses last time, and looking in less time, we already got to verse 9. All right. So we will pick up with 2 Samuel verse 10 next time, and then we will fly through the rest of this chapter because we got other stuff that we need to do, and I'll put the notes out there as soon as I can or whatever, but any other comments before we go? Anybody know, anybody get anything out of this that you can use today? Anybody got some defenses that we need to knock down? Oh, you know, we kind of talked about it from the standpoint of somebody saying something harsh, and we as the ones saying something harsh need to go out and reach those people. What about the people that are building the defenses? Have you ever been offended in such a way that you've built up defenses? Oh, here's one for you as you get ready to leave. If you're living behind a defense city or behind your defenses, just make sure that you're following the king. Because what Sheba's doing in defending himself, he's doing actions contrary to the king and the kingdom. So it's against the glory of God. Oh, wait a minute. And because it's against the glory of God, God is getting ready to deal with him. Because the defenses is contrary to the plan of God. Did you catch that? Has anybody ever been in that situation where you're defensive because of the offense that somebody's done to you? Make sure that as you build your defenses, it's not contrary to the will of God. Did that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Praise God. Let me get Ken before we get ready to go.
Yeah, in Proverbs 2 and 5 say...
Proverbs 2 and 5.
Everybody always see that you're considered in all that you do.
Yep.
And remember, Jesus comes.
It's all about the kingdom. All right? All right.